Go, how am I getting this many carrots for a buck?
There comes a time when you have to take off your kiddie pants and put on your dad pants.
You know I'm dad, you know it, you know. And I weed and feed my lawn at the correct instructed time. Who's dad? Hello, everybody. This is Dad Pants. My name is Stu. I'm a bit of a sad dad, as that song at the start might have indicated for you. But I'm here talking to someone who's not a sad dad yet, because they're not a dad yet, but they'll be sad in time, I'm sure. Monty, how are you?
Oh, mate, I'm sad. I'm sad now. Like, what am I, just a sad regular person? I'm good, mate. How about you?
Yeah, look, I'm okay. I'm sitting here in a bit of a comfy jumper. You know, once upon a time, I would have called this a Cosby sweater, but I certainly won't be doing that now.
No, that's, you wouldn't call it that, no.
So, how's your week been? And more importantly, how's your wife's week been?
Had a good week. I've got to tell you, I'm kind of like just everything's so focused on the coming day. I try and focus on other things, and I can for like 10, 20 minutes at a time, but then it just keeps coming back to me thinking about, holy crap, I'm going to have a baby real soon.
It's so, all sort of being real for you now. It's all happening for you.
And it's that good thing where I thought, my whole life I thought when it got this close, I thought I would be upset and worried that my life was going to change and I would never have my old life again. But instead, I really feel excited and kind of, I can't wait. Like, I'm like, I know it's all going to change, but I want it to change. I'm like, let's do it. I'm ready. Let's go.
Well, that's probably worth discussing. What is it about your old life that you fear you are going to lose?
I think it's not the fear of loss, it's the fear of gaining responsibilities for another human. Like before I could, you know, even Lindsay and I could go out and have a, you know, big night, leave the car somewhere, you know, end up getting a hotel or something, you know, do something like that. But you can't, there's no...
Torch some cars.
Yeah, torch a car, flip a motorbike over, something like that. But you can't do that no more. It's, you know... You got someone to look after.
Well, have you not heard of babysitters? You can go out torturing cars as long as someone's there watching the kid.
That's actually a very good point. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, maybe I'll start organising babysitters for the first week.
Yeah. So it's a freedom thing. Is it a thing of, which I got as well when I was going through this, of not feeling in control of your own life enough to... be able to be in control of someone else's life.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. One of the things I do find myself worrying about most is I fear that I'm going to be, I won't be good at, it's not the fathering, the like parental stuff I'm worried about. I'm just worried I won't be good at like holding a baby, like I'll drop a baby or like I won't be good at washing her or like things like that. That's weirdly the major concerns I have. Like I know that my life's not in order and I can't look after myself, but I'm kind of pretty confident I can look after another human if I can like hold her up and not drop her and stuff like that. It's weirdly the physical stuff I'm worried about.
They show you how to give a baby a bath at the hospital, so that you've got that's going good for you.
Yeah, that is good. Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear an embarrassing? Well, it's not embarrassing. It's nice, but a thing that's been happening to me, and I just can't stop it happening, and it's kind of weird. But I can't stop tearing up, crying a bit when I read about newborns or when I hear about newborns. I was in the office today working a bit, and I stopped for 20 minutes and was reading about a diary of, you know, having a newborn baby for a week, and I started crying at work. I was tearing up, and I was just like, how am I going to explain this if someone comes over and asks, why are you crying at work? It's good crying. It's not bad crying, but it's like, I need to get that in check. Surely I can't just be crying the whole time I have a baby.
No, you could. Well, you won't be the whole time. It'll be evened out with a fair bit of frustration because you've got all the emotions without the exhausted frustration at the moment. So that'll even out.
Yeah, good point.
That'll even out.
Yeah, good point.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about baby showers and the kind of gifts that people give you when you're having a baby. So is Lynn's having a baby shower?
Yeah, well, it's not Lynn's because we've kind of, you know, in the modern world, it's our friends have over the last 3 to 4 years moved to a kind of co-ed baby shower, and it's less of a baby shower, more of a everyone get together, bring presents for the future baby, but just have a nice time, have a barbecue or something like that. And we're going to have one on the weekend. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. It's brought a few problems and kind of issues, but no, other than that, pretty good.
Okay, are these things that are podcast compliant?
Yeah, absolutely. Just stuff like, so the main thing is that we're really excited to get some presents from people for stuff. But Lindsay, my wife especially, has been a little worried that we told everyone it was going to be a girl. Because now we're just going to receive all these super girly pink clothes. Right. And we had hoped to dress her a little more gender neutral.
Okay.
A bit gender neutral.
But you can get that message out there in subtle ways, can't you?
Well, I suppose it's that other thing. It's like, it's not... Well, what do you mean? We get the message to our friends? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, just... I don't know if there's an offhand way to say it, but to say, you know, I'm really looking forward to dressing my kid as in fairly gender-neutral clothes. I don't believe... I don't want the kid... You know, just say, like, get on the front foot it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll front foot it. Sidestep and front foot it. Yeah, get it happening that way. But... No, I don't think it'll cause major issues, but that's the only issue we've come up with so far.
Yeah, right.
We're having it at my father's house, and he very nicely got us some balloons and stuff, and he took the message right and got non-pink balloons. He got some all-coloured balloons, okay. Which would be good.
That's good.
No, I'm quite excited.
All right. Well, we're going to get the pants panel on in a second and talk more about this stuff, but I wanted to actually give you a little piece of advice that my wife shared with me about getting gifts at this time. And,
go on.
And again, this is the kind of thing where you've got to try and... There might be a bit of coordinating or getting the message out involved, but because everyone does want to give you clothes, but really everyone gives you early childhood clothes because they're the smallest and the cutest.
Sure.
And everyone wants to get that, but you never get a chance to actually use them all. Because the baby grows so fast that, you know, it might be too big for all those clothes you get given at the start, and then you got nothing.
That's brilliant, and it gives me, I've come up with a couple of things straight off the bat from that.
Yeah, so she said, yeah, ideally a group of friends, like you get your group of friends and you just kind of, they should stagger the sizes of the clothes so that you go through different phases.
I get you.
Yeah.
We are going to end up with a lot of those quadruple zero clothes for babies. And they also, like, they make them pretty small. They'll be out of them in, like, a week, right? Like, some of them, they're, like, so small that they won't be wearing them again.
Yeah.
But what you've given me the idea of is next time I go to a baby shower, I'm going to bring, like, a grown man suit. Give them, like, prepare for the future for their baby.
Well, that'd be pretty...
Or, like, teen clothes.
Yeah, gender neutral. Yeah, like skull and crossbone, like you might find on a rack at Target.
Grown man baseball cap.
Yeah, what about Keppers? I don't know if they're still making those. Keppers,
wow, haven't... I don't know, but they might be coming back. Surely Keppers will be coming back soon.
All right, well, enough of us rabbiting on. Let's bring the pants panel in, Monty. Get some real expertise going. Back in a moment. Here they are again, the Slacks Shamans, the Dak Druids, the Pants Panel, here to talk Monty through any and all problems. Gentlemen, hello.
Good evening.
Less polite this week. Everyone waited last week. This week, everyone's just right in there, not giving a start.
Straight in.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, that's polite again. Good on you. All right. So,
got any daddy-dodes?
Yes. this is part of, we're on the dad pants panel. Last night at about 9:30, just as the children were going to bed, we could hear a car revving its engine, sounding very meaty, like some, I don't know, hot rod from the 70s, just completely revving it. Well, I just thought,
a hot rod.
Just completely revving the guts out of itself.
Yes. And for a good 15 minutes, and I was just like, oh, someone's just impressed. Or trying to impress their friends, or out the front of someone's house, just like enjoying revving their car. And then my wife came out and said, "It's the people at like in the back of our house." And I was like, "What?" She said, "Yeah." So I went out and she's like, can you tell them to stop? It was like the kids are trying to go to sleep. Okay. So I looked over the back fence and there were like seven people trying to direct this guy in a, I don't even know what car it was, but a hot rod of sorts, trying to direct him to turn the car around in a very small space and then drive out of the driveway. But after the rain we had last night in very heavy mud.
Oh.
So he wasn't revving any car to try and impress anyone. He just couldn't get out of the backyard.
No traction.
No traction. And so they were like, all right, well, we'll go do it in reverse. So then he was trying to do it in reverse and the car was revving in reverse, which I don't reckon is pretty good.
Did you go and have a yell at him? Did you go and say, get out here? You know, I got people trying to sleep in here.
Well, I was going to, but then when I realized he was just really trying to get out of the backyard.
Trying his hardest by the sound of it.
I think it took about 45 minutes in the end. So
that's annoying, though.
It would have been one of those. It would have been great to get like a time lapse camera to see them go forward, then go back. No, no, going this way. No.
Now, Matthew, can I ask?
Like a clothesline in another car.
Can I ask a question from one dad to another? Were they actually trying to put anything under the tyres at any stage?
What I was just about to say. Yeah. Aren't you supposed to put something under the tyres? Yeah. This seems like a dad thing that you should all teach me now.
So I said, you can put some cardboard down. They're like, we did, but that just sank into the mud. And it was pretty entertaining. So in the end, it just became...
You live in Rotorua now, don't you, Matt?
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, like the payoff was today the lady who's a Nepalese who lives behind me gave me what I can only guess is about 3 kilos of beef curry to say sorry.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sorry curry is nice. Kind of
sorry curry
is amazing.
Second to pity chicken, but sorry curry is definitely
all right.
Happened.
There's a title. Yeah, look, that's pretty good. I mean, was it tempting? Did you do the old dad trope of just coming out onto your thing and just kind of stand there with your hands on your hips looking a bit grim?
Well, I couldn't. See, that's the thing. Like, it's quite a high fence out the back, so I couldn't.
They just couldn't see you.
Oh, yeah, and I had to teeter alarmingly over the back fence. So in the on wet furniture, so I wasn't getting any kind of dad purchase, I would say.
No purchase on the fence.
I don't want to derail your episode here, Stuart, but can we bookmark this for another time? Like, what point do you start to assert your dadness in situations? Like, in something like this.
You mean
at
what age?
Well, at what point? Like, you know, obviously you've come out and you've used a bit of common sense. You can see that these people, they're not doing it for any kind of malicious or, as you say, showing off kind of reason.
Yeah.
But have you ever had to assert your dadliness to protect your tribe in some capacity? Yeah. And what would be the expected
This feels like something I need to learn about. That sounds like a whole episode worth of when do I protect.
And that's why I'm just earmarking, bookmarking it.
Yeah, we'll certainly do that. At some point in the next couple of weeks, Monty will be going away for a bit. And then we can really, you know, flesh out some of these, you know, deeper topics, I think. And also anyone listening who's, you know, got some stories in that area who want to send them through, please do. But today let's have a little talk about baby showers and gifts. But before we do, just following up on a bit of the food stuff we've been talking about in previous episodes, we talked a bit about, Monty, what your wife was very opposed to food-wise, but has she had any cravings that are worth talking about?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this to you personally the other day, so I'll bring it up here. It's not cravings per se, but she has developed a weird routine in which she'll wake up at... four in the morning or so, leave the room for a little bit and return with a full bowl of cereal, eat the full bowl of cereal, put it beside the bed and go back to sleep. Now, she didn't eat much cereal before this happened, and I don't know where the cereal's coming from. It's bizarre.
Really? You don't know where it's coming from.
Now, Monty, I have a question. Are we purchasing one whole box of cereal, or are we purchasing one of those smaller 8-packs?
Fun packs
with a multitude of different selections.
No, so she is actually. We're purchasing our cereal budget has gone through the roof because a couple of the purchases have been. She's North American herself. She's Canadian, so occasionally you'll find those kind of convenience.
Captain Crunch.
Yeah, she's been on the Captain Crunch, which is
really.
about $14 a box.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. Right? Surely there's some type of Aldi equivalent.
Kernel crunch.
Yeah. Why? Listen, she's bloody over here in our country. She can enjoy our bloody cereal, all right?
I don't feel like telling her that at the moment.
That's fair.
You know those weird Milo kind of shaped things, whatever they are? That Milo cereal that's some weird shape that doesn't mean anything?
Like the netted thing, or is it the...
What exactly is Captain Crunch? I wouldn't even know. Is there an Australian equivalent of Captain Crunch? Is it like...
No, Captain Crunch is... Captain Crunch, let me just grab a box. One sec.
Sorry.
Buckland, you said that exactly as a dad then. Like, she's bloody in our country.
Hey.
She should be eating our bloody cereal with your arms crossed at the back fence.
Well, that's right.
You're off the Captain Crunch. What are you on now, the Cheerios?
Cheerios.
Yeah, the Captain Crunch is gone. She's on the Cheerios. So I've got a box of Cheerios. You guys know what Cheerios are?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you get Cheerios. Fine. My kids eat.
Captain Crunch. Lindsay, how would you describe Captain Crunch? Sugar corn, she says.
Oh, okay.
So that sounds good.
So frosty.
Yeah, frosty.
Frosty sugar corn, Lindsay? It's not frosted, just pure sugar and corn.
So like like frosty flakes, maybe.
Like frosty flakes? No, I think she specifically said not frosted.
Well, I'll give you not frosted.
Isn't sugar the frosting?
Maybe it's some form of kind of like fake sugar. I don't know. What I'm gathering is just corn and sugar in a bag. Right.
Anyone got any thoughts on this? Go to our Facebook group. Is sugar the frosting?
Right. Another thing food-wise that she's had is she's had a craving lately for yuzu, which is very specific. It's Japanese citrus fruit of some sort. And she sent me out to the store, to the Asian supermarket, to find anything yuzu. And what did I come back with? I came back with a yuzu mochi. I didn't know what any of that was, but it was pretty tasty. It was kind of a weird small jelly kind of thing. But I found a yuzu beverage as well. That was all right.
Okay. Ooh. Have any of you guys heard of yuzu before?
I was going to say, Matt, you say our resident Japanophile.
Yeah.
I think it's like I don't know. I thought it was just like a type of lemon or something, some citrusy fruit.
Yeah, it's a form of lemon. I looked it up. It's just a weird-looking lemon.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how much time has your wife spent in Japan?
None. Oh, maybe a day or two on the transit somewhere.
This is my question, right? Obviously, she'd eaten it before. I'd like to know if anyone has had cravings for stuff that they've never eaten before.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, and how would you express that? How would your body know? Like those times when you have a head injury and you wake up and you're speaking with a different accent or something like that. But well, kind of not like that, actually.
It's similar. It's definitely in the same ballpark.
Definitely.
I'd love to know that. Please write in to the show if you've had cravings for something you've never had before.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you wouldn't know though, because you can identify that you had a craving, but you didn't know what it was.
That'd be an irritating feeling, wouldn't it?
Maybe that's why crazy people go crazy.
People going crazy.
Solving mental health is here tonight.
Yeah, maybe they're just craving something that they have never had before. So you just got to start giving people everything.
I think it's the equivalent of going to the supermarket when you're really hungry. But that's just how you are all the time.
Yeah, that was
like frantically. Everything? Do I just want to eat everything? No. Oh God! All right.
Today's a three trolley event.
This might be a thing that happens with dads too, but this has just happened as I've gotten older. I struggle more and more with food courts because the choice of so many foods is hard now for me. Because if I choose one, it means I'm missing out on the others.
Yeah. That's
Sylvia Plath.
That's me with a menu. I agonize over menu. If I'm going out to eat anywhere, I have to look at the menu the day before, so I've got time to think about it.
Oh, that is dad. We are. That is very dad.
Yeah, that is
so dad.
There you go. Wow.
Because
that's in the dad commandments. I say.
Let's add that. That commandment.
We're going to go over the dad commandments in another episode. But
that is so seriously. You will have to look at the menu
because
the day before.
I can't if I'm there in the moment, I can't make a choice because
the worst part is I will do that, but then steel flip-flop right on point when the waitress comes to take my order, and I'll change at the very second and immediately regret it as soon as she walks away.
Okay, so Rich, you do the same thing, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ben?
Absolutely. Yes.
Matt, are you the only one who doesn't, Matt?
Yeah, I feel immature. I haven't reached dadness yet. If I'm not look, why peak would you dadness. Look at a menu?
It's very rare understand. That we go out, so I will know every single detail of that restaurant before arriving there.
Exit.
Sound points, like you're in the toilets. Godfather.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Right. The Godfather. Right, yeah. I know where the gun's.
Someone
taped.
Put a don't gun behind the toilet.
Take the gun. Leave the cannoli. Yeah.
To give you an example of where this is really important, Matthew, is when you've been to a place before and had a meal that was quite delicious, and you're looking forward to having it again, and you've gone in blind. Thinking I'm going to have the chorizo risotto, and there is no chorizo risotto. Change They've menus. Taken it off the menu, and then you are in.
Then you, yeah.
Well, then you're in a hole.
Yeah.
You're in a menu hole.
Can I point out that you would just be in a menu hole earlier if you look at it the day before?
True, but at least then you're looking at the menu.
Yeah.
There's no pressure.
Okay.
I won't go
to the restaurant. Yeah, sure. I need that chorizo.
I wonder where I can get a chorizo risotto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, the number of times where I've tried to go in, you know, blind and pick something because I had to make a decision of some kind, and my wife's got something much better than me.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't want to live like that.
You've been out ordered.
I am.
I've been out ordered. Yeah.
I've worked out a way to kind of combat this, but it annoys my wife, which is now if I go to a restaurant, I will quite often pick two things that I like and then wait till the waitress gets to me or the waiter gets to me and say, I feel like these two. Which one of those two do you recommend? That way, if it's bad, I can say, well, it was my choice. Look, not my fault. I got the bad food. The other one would have been great.
Oh, okay. You're just shirking all responsibility there.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great.
Throw it back on them.
Literally.
Wow. I'm learning so much. This is great.
Isn't about educating you, Matt. Well, this is where I thought this food conversation would go.
My wife had a weird one. It was less about the actual food, more about the textures. Sorry.
I was going to say texture.
It was all about the crunch. So we went through in similar kind of thing. Not quite the extent of $14 cereal, thank goodness, but was bags of carrots. And I used to cook lots with carrots, and I kind of had, you know, you'd have a couple of kilo bags in there all the time, and all of a sudden my carrots were disappearing. And Tony would be sitting there going, just eating them. She was just eating these raw carrots, like, constantly. It was like Bugs Bunny, something ridiculous, like, just hanging out of her mouth, these carrots. That was her first child.
How was her night vision?
Ah, man, she was spotting them left, right, and center, don't you worry. Yeah. But,
like a pack a day habit. Is that what was happening there?
Well, that's not bad because they're like a dollar a bag sometimes.
And that's exactly right. I'm quite happy if this is going to be a craving. And then next time around.
Lachlan, you are on fire. That's the second dad thing you've said as well. Like, good value too.
Well, exactly. But how do you, like, you go through the fruit and veg section of your supermarket. Everything seems overpriced until you hit the carrots and you go, how am I getting this many carrots for a buck? Makes no
sense.
Who wants
to be a carrot farmer?
Who would be a carrot farmer?
Work for so little.
Well, there's no yield.
Carrots are easy to grow. That's the problem.
You can just
grow them in your backyard. It's the easiest thing.
Do you think at ag school they don't tell the carrot farmers there's no yield in this? Anyway.
Yeah.
So, baby showers. Anyone have any or have heard of anything re-baby showers that it's worth telling Monty and therefore his wife?
Yeah, the risk of getting in trouble. Baby showers are terrible.
Mm.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Really?
Did anyone have a baby barbecue? Like, was it a co-ed type thing? Or did they have, like, strictly the female baby shower type scenario?
Both. We with work, all the teachers had a baby shower, and I'm a big guy. I hated it. I did not like being the center of attention where you have to open a present and then react. So I sort of drifted away. But the second one was just, you know, a barbecue and a baby shower. But I found it quite like a cult, if that's the right word.
Yeah, there's a certain kind of expectation, I think, and I completely absolve myself of any responsibility or anything to do with it. Like, I just literally said, nah, not going to even go. I was literally like, it was like, oh, I'm having my baby shower. I'm like, oh, you have fun with that.
Well, that's something we've talked about a bit before, and maybe something we'll explore in another episode too.
Shirking responsibility.
No. The moments when you put your foot down, putting your foot down as a dad, and just going, nah, not doing this one. I'll do this, I'll do that, but I'm not doing this one.
Meatloaf style.
Yeah.
So
yes, I didn't do the second. For our second, I didn't have anything to do with that.
I don't think we even had a second. It's just
the intensity was just, I don't know, uncomfortable. I don't
believe the second one's called a baby sprinkle.
Uh-huh. Right.
What I've been led to believe, yeah.
Creepy territory when you start.
I mean, the shower has passed and it's, you know, sprinkling.
Yeah, I see.
Is the third one a spit? Like, we're getting into that territory?
Some form of drought.
Bushman's hanky.
Yeah.
And then a lightning ding is the fourth.
So associated with baby showers is a lot of little kind of games and stuff, isn't there, as well?
Yes.
My wife was telling me about one where they bring out a nappy and it's got a melted chocolate bar in it, and you got to guess what the chocolate bar was.
That is written on my list here.
Oh, is it?
Guess the poo.
Guess what the chocolate guess bar? The poo. Wow.
Yeah, guess the poo. Guess the bar. Yeah.
Who's the winner?
No one wins, Monty.
Yeah, man, you're in a baby shower. No one is winning.
Right. Well, whoever's not got a brown mouth afterwards, I'm guessing.
Who's got a brown mouth afterwards? Yeah. What's the prize is the worst part. Yeah.
A good friend of Lindsay's was trying to help and come up with games, and she came up with a game. I was telling Lindsay all about it, and it was starting to sound a bit weird to Lindsay, and it revolved around trying to guess in which sex position the baby had been conceived. And then after a while, my wife realized, no, you're talking about a hen's party game. This is a hen's party game, not a baby shower game. We can't do this with parents around.
Weird. And again, who wins that one?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Go, yep, that's it. I remember exactly. I remember when that little tatty hit the spot exactly.
Oh. I did go to...
Sorry.
I went to a...
Appropriate response.
I was trying to put a full stop to that. I didn't, you know.
I went to a co-ed baby shower. Co-ed, is that... sounds a bit weird.
Co-ed. Yeah. Well, ed part is education, right?
Yeah. The internet has ruined that word. I went to a guys and girls baby shower in which they had a quite nice game, which was just they had a lot of arts and crafts style material, and you could decorate a onesie for the baby. And that was kind of fun. We got to make our own little kind of cool onesies for the future baby, and then we all got photos of the baby wearing it when the baby was around. I thought, you know, there was no harm, no foul in that. That was fine.
Well, that all sounds nice and pleasant. We go, you said you had a list. Is that right?
Well, I've written stuff down. I wouldn't necessarily say all the games are on a list, but there's the waddling balloon game.
Right.
Have you heard of that one?
You put it between your legs and then have a race to imitate being pregnant, correct. I guess.
Correct.
That seems like it's really making fun of the pregnant person. That's...
Well... You know, look,
the waddle.
We're guessing melted chocolate in nappies, I think pretty much everything's fair game.
Yeah, there's
a bit of shock silence then, strangely.
Look, Stu, and that's,
and again?
So that's my list. So that's my list.
All right. So dads are good at making lists, we found out as well.
Well, I always like to write list on my list because then I can always tick something off.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. All right, before I move away from baby shower into gifts, anyone else got anything there?
The intensity was just so surprising, I think, was just like, now you will open this present and you will react with this particular onesie. You will react and go, oh, look at that. Having, every single
having
present.
Your face studied to that degree.
Yeah, not yeah. not great. And it's sort of out of control, you know, like I like being the center of attention, but not in that situation.
No.
Not when you're opening baby presents.
Not if my cool. reactions are dictated.
Is there any yes. is there any room to react in a negative way to a present and shame the person who's given
well,
it to?
Well, funny you say that.
Oh.
I was talking to my wife about this before, and one of the presents she got was one knitted booty. So that's right, one.
Assuming there was going to be a disability in your child? Or?
They just, I don't know, looked at me and thought was going to have diabetes or something, I suppose. But no, the other one hadn't been knitted yet. But the problem was that the size was a little off. It would have fit a Barbie doll's foot.
Oh.
And so Mish kind of scoffed at it a little bit and was a bit incredulous, kind of going, you know, what, you know, what are we supposed to do with this? It's like, surely you know that that's not going to fit a baby's foot. It's that sort of thing. And the gift giver took so much offense that she never got the second booty. Never got that second booty. There would have had to be a third booty to make up for the first booty, but
just for each toe or something like that.
Toe booties. Yeah.
Yeah, toe booties.
All
yeah.
right. Yeah. Too many episode titles are getting here. Isn't
it? Well, it wasn't supposed to be a penis warm or something, and she was just embarrassed. Like,
well, looking at me again, I guess.
Yeah. Who are you?
Any other? yeah, I don't know that that'll last in the edit, but we'll see. Any other gist ideas, fella, that would be either amusing or helpful?
Well, I think that from a practical point of view, I think it's really important to have a look at the, I think the consumables are very good. Like, you know, I think that, you know, you need to make sure that the old nappy cake is a very prominent one in that was actually quite useful and kind of a bit of banter there. So what you do is you basically roll up a whole heap of nappies.
Yeah.
I think it was probably close to 100 odd nappies by the time this nappy cake was a good 5 foot tall. And it sat there, and we went through all the nappies. But it was that was a helpful present. I thought I was incredulous at the beginning. I thought, oh yeah, whatever. But yeah, it ended up being quite helpful. It's pretty good.
Where's the cake? We've got an emergency over here.
Interesting if one was soiled, but you didn't know which one.
Which one?
Yeah, you got to find it. That's another one of the baby shower games.
Find the soiled nappy in the cake. Yeah.
One of them's already filled.
Well, I asked my wife this question about gifts, and her response was, I said, so do you just, you know, maybe you just buy them a nice bit of, you know, nice bit of clothing? And she went, no.
Yeah.
You do not buy anything that brings taste into the equation.
Ooh.
People have different tastes.
Good advice.
So don't buy anything with pattern, like just don't buy anything that's patterned or anything along those lines.
Yeah.
By like Richard said, nappies are great, wraps are great.
Yeah.
Just
got a baby there dressed like Viet Cong.
Right.
I think that's it. As a counter to that, I'd probably say that the old Bond's Wonder Suit is pretty
a white
stock
one.
Standard. Like you know, yeah,
a white one.
You can't really go too far wrong. And as you say, like keep it neutral. Keep it.
Yeah,
wraps are good. Monty, do you know what a muslin is?
Yes, we've started, as she's Canadian, we've started receiving gifts from overseas and quite a lot of muslin. Although it's good to hear you say it out loud, I haven't known how to pronounce it.
Right, because I didn't ever know what it was, and then probably, you know, for 4 years of my life, there was a lot of muslin talk, and then I haven't mentioned it again. Since.
It's muslin like a southern man putting something on a dog's face rather than muslin like the religion.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't actually looked up but I believe that's how it's
pronounced.
I'm
pretty sure it's muslin, yeah.
I like the definitions, though. That's good.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that. I was kind of, I'm muslin. Yeah, it made me think of a southern man putting a muzzle.
But Monty, this is the presents you should be getting when the baby is born. Do you know what your role is or what you ask for after the baby's born?
A cigar?
No, anytime someone's coming to visit Just ask them to bring food.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah,
okay. Bring a meal that can be frozen. That's all you want.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, I gave that advice too. Yeah. After the baby's born, and, you know, shorter the visit, the better. Just come around. Nice short visit. Leave some food. Fuck right
it's
off.
It's not fun.
Oh, I'd wash the dishes. You know, like, people come over, wash dishes, do a bit of housework, leave food. Get out.
Great.
I think we got
none of that.
None.
Really?
None.
Yeah, how do I express that to the people coming around? Do I text them beforehand? Like,
tell them to listen to this podcast.
Share the podcast.
Yeah, good point.
And text them, say, what are you bringing?
Yeah.
Right.
They'll say, can I bring anything? You say, yes, food. No presents for baby.
That's right. We've got enough.
It's fine.
A great way to do that, I think, is make up a fake allergy for me or my wife and just start saying, just so you know, we have a peanut allergy or something like that.
That's a great idea.
And then they're like, oh, what is he? Oh, we better bring some food, you know. Why is he telling us that?
I have a strong feeling this is another in a long line, maybe a short line, of excellent ideas that we've come up with in the past and never followed through with, which was having a food register for new parents.
Oh, right. Ooh. That's fantastic. Like, who's bringing what meal?
So
like,
we don't want chicken
4 days in a row kind of thing.
Yeah, what did they eat yesterday? Yep. Oh, it's there. Someone bought them this.
Yeah,
All right, I'll take a lasagna that can be heated up. That kind of thing.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Food register. Pity chicken.
Pity chicken. Thank you very much.
If we if we were cleverer and, you know, add a bit of coding, we could make a little app that people could download. Yeah. Food register. Anyway, maybe I'll ask.
I'm just hoping. Can I request that this all gets cut out, please, Stu?
Why? You want to make some money off this?
Until the app's up and running.
It's been 8 years or something like that. We're going all right.
Dad Pants brought to you by Food App.
For Dad. Let's just finish that off by saying, if you're going to go visit someone that's had a baby, be aware of social cues. I would say, wouldn't you? Like, the visit's got to be shorter the better. And if they look in any way, like, a bit kind of awkward or squirmy, that means they probably want you to fuck off. So,
And if you don't have kids, then there's two types of visitors: people who've had kids and people who haven't. And the people who have kids tend to know the signals and know that you will cancel plans at the last minute. If everything's gone to, you know, crap. But the people without kids will be like, so what?
Yeah.
Just come out anyway. Just bring them. Bring the kid. It'll be fine.
Just bring them along.
I'm coming over. It's all right. I'll come over. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Pants panel, thank you so much. Monty, feeling smarter?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm feeling knowledgeable about food and baby showers.
Captain Crunch.
Crunch.
You got some research to do?
Can we finish on this quickly before we go? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Your wife's gone and got a bowl of Captain Crunch. Come back to bed. What are you doing?
Sleep.
Are you staying asleep or are you lying there listening to the crunching?
No, that's the weirdest part. I mean, it's in the name of the cereal. I wake up and you can hear it.
I was going to say, sounds bloody crunchy.
But I'm not going to say, hey, don't do that. But, like, you know, it's weird.
No.
It was weirdest the first time. I guess I'm asking you
how you're feeling at 4 o'clock in the morning listening to what I assume is some quite slow crunching over the course of, like, 10 minutes or so.
Slow crunching. Feeling pretty weird about it.
Just say how you feel about it right now. Your wife probably won't listen to this.
Look, I don't feel bad about it, but it's that weird state you're in where it kind of penetrates your dreams and you're like, I'm half asleep and I hear crunching in my dream and it's something really large or something like that.
It's like the final scene of The Fugitive and you're in that drain and then Captain Crunch is blocking you off. Yeah.
John Kimball.
Yeah. Nope, you're going, I'm trying to sleep. And then he starts crunching and goes, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're going, all right. Is this this on?
Monty, is Lindsay sitting in the dark?
With the crunching? What she started doing, which I found amazing too, is she's watched a few whole television series on her phone during cereal hour. Like she'll get up and watch.
It's just cereal hour, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's been weird, man. It's a time all to her own. I don't know about it.
On that note, thank you, Pants Panel. Thank you, Monty. We'll be back next time. Join the socials. Talk to us, please.
How good sorry curry.
Sorry curry is amazing.
Yeah, sorry curry.
Especially Nepalese.
Nepalese sorry curry is just...
Nepalese curries are really good as well.
Yeah, Nepalese. Oh, they make a good curry.
And, you know, it's beef curry, so Justine can't eat it. So
there you go. Perfect.
It's like that's a kilo amazing. Each for me and the girls.
Oh, did she then get a vegetarian sorry curry?
She got a vegetarian, just 3 kilos of rice.
Enjoy.
Oh, good.
Enjoy your kilos of rice.
Sorry, rice. It's Nepalese rice. Yeah, sorry, rice. So.
Sorry, rice. Yeah, you need. Yeah. She needs a sorry something else to make up for the rice, and being able to eat the curry. But
sorry, chana masala or something like that.
I love the fact that she felt so bad all
sorry,
all day. She just spent all day making sorry curry.
Wow.
I wonder if she was already making the curry.
More than likely. I love the. It's like. The bean apocalypse now. Sometimes you just go outside and you're like, this just smells like victory. You can just smell the curry coming down the hill. We got a new fence put in, and she said to the guy making the fence, can you put a little gate like right at the corner, a very tiny one, so we
sorry
can
gate.
Pass. So yeah, okay. Sorry gate, so I can pass sorry curry.
Wow.
So yeah, we pass food. If we make food, then it goes through this little gate. It's awesome.
They're good people.
I don't know what happens if she moves out and like horrible people move in.
I was going to say.
Yeah, have access to your house.
We'll be passing nappies with poo in them through the gate.
Yeah, sure.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.